Monday, June 30, 2020, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1 o'clock p.m., Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1:30 p.m.
No face shields here, huh?
Oh, that's gay. You should have one, though.
Tyler said you had a bunch of them over their heads.
I like it, but... I leave it over there.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Let's start our meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Martin?
Here.
Tony?
Here.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the board meeting room and is available to review by all citizens in attendance. We'll go ahead and start our meeting with the tabled items. Board to discuss, approve Resolution 20C-005 to declare a moratorium on wind energy, Dakota County. We've had some more conversations with the people out of Rattlesnake Ridge, the place there in Ponca. So in the not real distant future, we were looking after we get past our tax valuation stuff, possibly the first or second week in August, getting out there and taking a tour of that, getting a little bit more informed on that, and then moving forward with whatever we're going to decide on that. So my recommendation would be just keep it tabled for now until we can get out there and do some of that.
I think we need to do that.
Any second to that, or?
I think not. Did more of a comment.
Okay.
And then, second, we have public comment. Hear any comments of everything, anything that's not on today's agenda. So if anybody wants to speak on anything that's not on the agenda, now would be the time to come forward. All right, consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from June 15th, 2020.
So moved.
I'll second.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Board to approve payroll claims, June 14th through June 27th, 2020. I did come in this morning, had an opportunity to go through all that information. Everything appears to be in order. There is a situation where we have some people that have tested positive for COVID, and there's a discussion to whether, as first responders, what the state has decided as far as, you know, covering that or not covering that, or how they're going to cover that. So that's a discussion that we're looking into. We did put a new COVID code in to cover that for now. It'll be paid now, and then we'll look at it a little bit further, and we're checking out with what the state wants to do and their representatives, and we'll go forward. But for now, we'll go ahead and make sure everything stays paid, and we'll get it taken care of.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve the payroll claims for June 14th to the 27th.
Second.
Kevin?
I'll abstain.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Next, we have Lance Hedquist, South Sioux City's administrator, to talk to the board regarding the plans of the new wastewater treatment plant that's going to be built by South Sioux City, and he's just going to update us on their situation.
Be happy to, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I did bring Matt. Can I take his off?
Yeah.
All right, without getting in huge trouble here. I did bring some maps of the area that
okay,
we're
great.
Looking to build this plant on. We did advertise in the paper for a site for a sewer treatment plant. We did have some landowners that came forward and said that they were acceptable with that facility on their property. It's located north of the Tyson Lagoons, right next to the river. It's in our zoning jurisdiction, and the council did unanimously passed that zoning request, and we've entered into a agreement on the land. We're waiting for state approval for being able to purchase that ground, and at this stage, we're also going to wait till the crops come out of the field, so we don't have a problem with that. The site will be approximately 55 acres. We did rezone 200 acres, but the site itself we expect to be 55 acres in size. We expect the total project cost at this stage is estimated at $45 million. So it's obviously an expensive project. We're very happy that the federal government has given us $12.2 million that will help our ratepayers keep those costs in our community. Sioux City has notified us that we have to leave their treatment plant. So we have no choice unless we're going to pump it on the ground. There's no other choice but to get this plant up and running. We also are faced with several large industrial expansions in our area, and we cannot handle them without a new plant coming in into our area. So you'll see us trying to proceed with this project as fast as practical. We're going to make the right decisions, but it won't happen overnight. Probably a two-year construction period, and it'll probably be six more months before we get state approval of the building permits for that facility. So roughly 2.5 years from now is when that plant should be operational.
Okay.
And I'd be happy to leave you the maps. You're going to see the site. You're welcome to.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely take those maps. So with that being built, where it's being built, you're in the planning and zoning. Did you annex that then, or is just an agreement that?
Yeah, we cannot annex it because it is not contiguous to the city of South Sioux City.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Is that on the Peterson property?
It's north of the Peterson. We did approach Mr. Peterson.
So their water plant is going to benefit the taxpayers in any way? I mean, no, it's going to be more expenses for the taxpayers on the city of South Sioux City as well as the county?
In terms of the taxpayers, the site would be a city facility, so it would not pay property taxes, nor does a water plant or sewer plant or electric plant. So it would not pay in that fashion. But what it does do is allow for industrial expansion and residential expansion to occur. And if you don't have sewage systems, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll indirectly help, but not directly.
So then when this is done and you're up and running, you will be able to, South Sioux will be able to do 100% of their sewage. You won't have to depend on anybody?
On the sewage plant itself today is being designed for the south half of our city, which is the industrial portion of the city. As of right now, the residential on the north end will continue to go to Sioux City.
Mm, okay.
The plan is, and the layout of this facility is that it's easily expandable, but we'd have to run about 7 miles of a sewer line to go from where our boat ramp is to get down to this facility. And we want to make sure it's running good.
Yeah,
before we take step two in that regard.
So
eventually it'll do it all.
What do you currently pay Sioux City right now? The whole lump sum per year, roughly?
Probably $2.5 million. That's off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And they have no capacity. They're out.
So they're probably giving the same type of news to North Sioux and Sergeant Bluff and are probably going to have to be in that same boat eventually.
Yeah, they've notified everybody about having to leave their plant.
Mm.
Us leaving actually gives them a little more room.
Flexibility.
For them to allow other people to come in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's some things in the horizon, though. It looks like there's some expansions coming and some...
Yes, I think you'd feel very confident you'll see private sector growth happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know it's important to get anybody to come in as they have the ability to provide all their utilities. So, all right. Appreciate the update.
All right. I'll leave these maps with you.
Thank you very much, Nancy.
Okay. Have a good one.
You bet.
Call anytime.
Yep.
Don't forget one of this.
Oh, you need another one?
No, no. I'll get it later.
Amanda, we're supposed to call her.
Oh, okay. All right, Kevin. We're gonna call Amanda Harper, housing manager at Simco. Kevin's our phone tree guy here, so
tech support.
Yep.
Gotta have that.
Amanda Harper, housing manager at Simco, requesting a letter of support for Simco's application.
It's on her
for Federal Home Loan Bank at Topeka Grant.
There you go.
To assist with low income homeowners in Dakota County.
This is Skip. Please
leave
a message. Thanks.
Sorry.
Try this again. Hi, Amanda. This is Kevin with the Dakota County Board of Commissioners. We have you on our agenda to speak to us about a letter of support for the Simco application.
Yep. So the application is for the Federal Home Loan Bank. We're applying again this year as we have not been awarded in previous years. We will continue applying until we get awarded or until they just get tired of seeing our application and give us money. So the application round opens July 6th and closes August 21st. And we are planning on applying for between $450,000 to $750,000. I'll explain why such a variance there here in a second. But the funding is going to be used for a home repair program within Dakota County. There will be a preference for the rural areas, so outside Sioux City or South Sioux City, although South Sioux will be eligible, but we will have a preference for rural area applicants. Excuse me. So the difference, the description between $450,000 to $750,000 is because I want to make sure that we're maximizing our points. We get points based off of different criteria in the application. But one of them that gives us 10 points is member bank participation. So we have a couple banks in South Sioux who are members of the Federal Home Loan Bank. And if we're able to get them to donate a certain amount to the project, it's $500 for 20% of the project, and that can gain us some points towards the application. So our ultimate amount that we apply for is going to be based on how much we can get those banks to donate towards the project. It's just how they do it over there is because the bank is out of Topeka. It's quite different from how Iowa Bank does it. But nonetheless, we're going to see if we can get them to participate. They were willing to participate last year, so I'm confident we'll be able to. It's just how much we'll be able to get them on board with. I guess I'll take a breath there and see if anybody has any questions so far.
Okay, thank you. I don't have anything. I think it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, the only other thing I would throw out there that I have on my list of things to mention is the program for low to moderate income homeowners. And so what that means in Dakota County is for a home that has four people in it, they have to make less than $60,000. A home for a family of two would be less than $48,000. So, that's the income limits we're looking at there.
So, Amanda, there's no limitation on or targeted audience like elderly or veterans or anything like that. This is pretty open-ended to low-income
It is. We gain points in the application based off of who we plan on serving with the program. So we do get extra points if we say we're going to serve, you know, 20% veterans. We get additional points depending on how many elderly and disabled people we say we're going to serve. We get additional. So what we're going to do really is maximize the points as much as possible. So there will be a preference for those who are elderly and disabled. There will be a preference for veterans, not only veterans, but that also includes their widows and widowers. So as I go through the application process, I'll be reaching out to those groups as well to let them know that, hey, this is what we're doing, and we'd like your support. And if we're awarded, we'd like you to work with us to get these folks to apply to the program.
Okay.
I know we've got a lot of Prouds and Braxtons over there, and they don't like to ask for help. So if we have somebody on the inside who's saying, yes, this is legit, you know, we're just trying to help, you know, improve the community and improve your quality of life, you know, in your home, then we're able to really get those folks to apply and utilize the funds.
Okay, thank you.
What kind of turnaround time are you looking at on this? When will you find out?
So Federal Home Loan Bank is one of the longest wait time. We actually won't find out until December if we're awarded.
Okay. And as far as somebody on the inside, if we would happen to get that at, on the veterans end, we do have a active gentleman that works with them, and we would have no problem finding people to work with on that.
Great. That would be excellent.
Anybody else got anything else? All right. I think that's it.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Kevin, and the rest of the commissioners. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We need a motion for the letter of support. Okay, I'll make a motion that we write a letter of support for the application for assistance for low-income homeowners.
I'd second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
All right, D. Rodney, are you in?
Yes.
You want to step up here and explain what you got going here, and we'll look it over.
Yeah, so basically I'm putting on a car show over at the Dakota Thurston County Fairgrounds, and we need to ask permission to close the stable drive that splits the property.
Uh-huh.
Basically, we're just going to have things going on both sides of the road, so people would be walking back and forth. So it just kind of makes sense if we could do that.
How long are you going to have the show? Is it going to be how long?
It'll be July 17th and 18th, so it'd be like a Friday evening and then all day Saturday and then into the night.
Have you ever had it there before?
No, this is the first year.
Well, thanks for looking at us over there. That's very good to get other things happening out of that. It's a nice piece of property.
It will be a big show. We've got to kind of phase it back or calm it down this year, but every year we've been growing. This is my sixth year of doing it. Usually we're over in Sioux City.
Mm-hmm.
There really just isn't a place to do the kind of show that we do. We have like camping and there's some music and you know, a lot of activities for everyone to do. It just made sense. It's close and that facility provided everything we needed.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
Yeah, and it's going to grow. It's just this year's kind of
for everybody,
you know, yeah, so we're kind of pulling the reins back a little bit so don't get too many people here. But but still, people will be using motels, gas stations.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All that stuff, too. Yeah. So we'd basically be closing it like I would only need to close from like Friday night, like let's say 5 o'clock up to like Saturday at midnight or whatever.
Okay.
Like
the process of doing that, who actually does the barricading or the closing of that?
Are you talking stable drive that goes through the fairgrounds area or north and south?
Through the fairgrounds.
Okay.
I talked to the department that does that and they said to come here.
Yeah.
We usually put the barricades out.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know, maybe he has his own.
But the fire department guy got notified.
Mm-hmm.
So is this part of the fair?
No.
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 It's different.
Yep.
How many cars are you expecting?
Last year, we had like 167 cars.
Wow.
Very nice.
Is it like classic cars or what?
Yeah, classic cars, but it's like a younger generation's twist on a car show, you know? It's not like...
Spoilers on...
No, we don't do that, but we're more into like traditional hot rods and rat rods, and then like, we have a pinup contest, so, you know, the guys' wives that have a car, you know, they get dolled up and do the pinup contest, and we do one for the kids, too, and
stuff
like that.
Oh,
cool. Very good.
Interesting.
Yeah, very nice. All right, well, do we need to actually do a resolution to...
Need a motion.
A motion.
Motion.
Yeah, I'd make a motion that we go ahead and close that from, let's say, from 4 p.m. On Friday to midnight Saturday night.
We want the just the same area as what we do
for the fair.
Yeah,
have you kind of scoped that out to where the, like the fence line to the fence line?
Yeah, I'm not really sure how they do it. I drove by during the fair, but you can't really see.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I would just assume somewhere on that. When you come around the corner there,
they close that fence off.
See, if Fred's guys are going to do it on Friday, they wouldn't be working on Friday.
I know.
But
or
we
Saturday at midnight.
But they would make arrangements. If they know something's going up, they've made arrangements before. If a tree falls down and we call them, they come and clear the tree off the road.
Or if they can just put them there and then we can slide them out.
Yeah, I've put them up before.
Sorry to interrupt. The road department will drop them off, and then it's up to us to place them and to remove them during the fair. So we do it.
Okay.
But the road department kind of places them approximately
where they are, and they just pull them out onto the road.
I second your motion.
Do we need to notify the homeowners back in there? Is anybody?
There's really not a homeowner that is. They're off the beaten path a little ways. There's.
Okay.
But
yeah. That makes sense then.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks for looking at us.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Next, we have Amy Utek and Sheree Conley, Dakota County Fair Board, requesting the board to approve a special designation liquor license for the 2020 fair, which is scheduled for July 29th through August 2nd. Also requesting the board to approve a portion of Stable Drive for safety reasons on Wednesday the 29th and ending Sunday, August 2nd. Permission to use the road closed signs from the road department if they're still available. We can't close that road. You know that. Everybody knows. We've never done that before. Now go ahead.
We meet this Wednesday again. Both health departments from Thurston and Dakota County are going to be there. We're
still
having to scale things back and try to decide exactly
we're
going to do. So.
Yeah, it's a very difficult time. I know with fairs, it's a hard deal. And all those kids have all their time invested to do this. And it's so appreciate all the extra work you guys are doing, too, for trying to get something figured out.
Since we haven't decided, and the health departments were working up our plan, and if that is approved, or if parts of it are approved and parts are not, I still have to apply for the liquor license. So that's it's this pretty much essentially the exact same as last year. So quickly, it's the tractor pull on Thursday. Then we have that dueling pianos. That's kind of iffy because I don't know if we can get the social distancing done, but we're working on it. The ranch rodeo and the extreme bull ride. We think we have plenty of bleachers for that to be able to space people. So I think that'll probably work out. The mud volleyball. I guess they're having tournaments in Lincoln and Omaha both.
They had one in Lawton last
so
weekend.
It looks like that's maybe going to be okay. And then on Sunday afternoon, we have that little ATV rodeo, and that's never, I mean, you guys know our fair is not hugely attended, so we don't think we're going to have much problems. So I just need a signature. If you guys will approve it, that would be great.
Like a lot of things, though, I think that you know, a lot of people are doing a lot of those. Maybe fair attendance will be up, you know, because a lot of those things, everybody's reverting back in a lot of ways, and hopefully that one.
Yeah.
Like our rodeo area where we have the bull riding and the ranch rodeo, we calculate we could have up to 7,000 people in our bleachers. That's pretty much full capacity. We're lucky to get maybe 500 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have plenty of room for people to sit out.
People are looking for reasons to get out, so hopefully.
Well, I can make a motion to approve the designated liquor license for the fair people and also close that road.
A second.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. And we'll get with the road department and have them help us get the sign out there. I was just going to let you know, too, we usually put some signage up as people drive in so they know where to park, mm-hmm. and that the local residents know that the road is not it's closed to through traffic so that they're aware.
Yeah.
It's just this front page.
Yeah.
These are just maps on the map.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
But anyhow, we'll kind of keep you guys
updated
on what happens there.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for all that you do.
Thank you.
I thought I saw Fred here.
Is going to be a parade this year?
No. The state canceled the parade.
Okay.
They said we can't have it.
Okay.
Even if we're in phase four, phase five, we still can't have it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
So.
If Fred, see Fred out there, send him in.
Okay.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Is Fred out there?
Did you see Fred?
What?
Did you see Fred out there?
No, that was Tyler Dexter from the, we're looking for places for a server. Try not to steal in the boardroom.
Well, I would give you the whole courthouse, then the Marine Inn or something like that. You know, I mean.
He'd rather go.
You know, I mean, are this for picking the jury or the whole thing? Mm-hmm. The out at the ag building out at there didn't look like it was viable.
When they went looked at everything, they looked at like four. And kind of think it's leaning toward the brain.
And whose responsibility? Who pays that bill? Whose choice is it? Put it that way. Whose choice is it?
Kind of collective, but more counsel and judge. Well, they're comfortable with that.
It's been a while since I've seen an open air courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Public cloud, right here.
Yep.
All right. So don't think Fred's here. I thought he was going to be. You can see the road department report there. Go ahead and thumb through it.
Did we get the water issue taken care of?
Yep, the water issue has been taken care of. I actually was out that way looking to do some work for a guy and went and took a look at it. And as it runs out of the Lynch ground, hits that ditch, runs on along the road, comes down to where they crossed the culvert or repaired the culvert that was in there, runs in on the other side of the highway or the other side of the roadway, and there's a big catch area there, so I don't think it will affect anybody.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it looked like it was really good fix.
Really good.
Yeah, well, yes. And
I actually got a text. I got a text from Mr. Stork of appreciation that the county was able to look at that, so that was one of those win-wins that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
It's good for us. Good news for a change.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Next is B, approve agreement with independent contractor Maggie Cook for the purpose of bailiff duties for the district court judge. There's a copy of that in your file.
Who was doing this before? I mean, I'm kind of new to the game here, but how did we do this before?
We've never had a bailiff before.
We've never had a bailiff before?
The court reporter just did it.
There's been talk of a bailiff.
Yeah.
With several of our district court judges through the years. I know there's been talk of one. I don't know that there's ever been a...
We did budget for one, but then they never found anybody they wanted to hire, and then it kind of got dropped again, and...
So then...
What's the function of a bailiff, I guess I...
They do... Well, my understanding was in the... When we talked to the judge, scheduling...
Oh, okay.
There's a list of...
Day-to-day operations.
I did see that. Kind of make sure everything's on.
He wanted to set it up similar to Dodge County, I think, and I did call them, and they did say that they did have a bailiff, but...
The cost would be... This would be our cost. The district is also into Dixon and Cedar. So they've also entered or entering into agreement covering portions, not portions of it. This is our portion.
This is our portion.
But they are doing additionally, is my understanding.
It's not our employee. This is an employee that covers all of these.
Yeah, independent contractor works for the district.
It would be his court reporter that would do the functions of the bailiff halls.
And then during a trial, we'll also do the bailiff duties.
So this isn't dependent upon how many cases or anything. It's just kind of a standard amount.
It will be once a month. Yeah. 9,000, I think. Does it come to 750 times 12?
Yeah. And Dodge County. And we look. Dodge County does similar.
Yep.
They similar to it.
They pay 750 biweekly, I think.
Biweekly, so they pay more than.
Yeah. This is 750 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they're larger than us, also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fremont County. I don't know enough about this function, but if this is a position that we need, I guess.
So we need to make a motion today?
Yeah, we need a motion.
So this is going to be his money coming out of our budget, right?
Out of the district court. No.
Judges, yeah.
Yeah, out of the district court budget.
Judge.
And he's all for this?
He's all for it. He thinks it's a necessity.
And the other counties are all on board with it,
yeah,
as well? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll make a motion to approve the agreement for the independent contractor.
Second.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. Approval of Resolution 20C-11 to appropriate transfer of funds for over expenditure budget of legal service general fund.
We started paying court appointed, well, not really, that it's the juvenile diversion, juveniles that had to have tracking and EM.
Yeah, electronic monitoring.
Yeah, and we were paying that with grant money, and the grant money ran out. And then we talked about the fact that they're all assigned an attorney now, and so it's making the process a little longer and the tracking a little longer. And
was that grant the one that was the juvenile diversion grant? And that money just, it ran out?
Yeah.
Didn't make it as far, or? Yep.
It did make it to the end of the year.
Okay.
We spent close to $50,000 out of legal services, and our grant was $24,000. So you know, we're almost back up to that 100,000 for juvenile detention again that we had.
And we're not having an influx of juveniles. I don't remember.
I think it's just the cases are getting strung out with the...
COVID?
No.
Yeah. No.
Yep.
With their attorneys and
lots of stuff to do.
Well, yeah, there are. There are just things that need to be done.
They change a legislative bill. Mm-hmm. That's just one of the ramifications of it. Every juvenile is allowed to have a court-appointed attorney, and it's just bogging the it's bogging the system down, and they're not getting through in a timely fashion. And
so we might have had somebody monitored for 10 days until it was taken care of. Now we might have somebody monitored for 25 days until it gets taken care of.
So basically, this will solve this year's problem, 3,500 moving from here to here.
Right.
But next year, we're going to have...
We've applied for a grant for 50,000. I don't know, we might even up that. Because it ended up being 53,000. So... We applied for a grant from enhancement dollars from the Crime Commission, and those are, you know, kind of competitive and discretionary, and so not sure if we'll get them or not.
We're also looking into possibly being able to do some of the juvenile stuff maybe over telecom if they're in. Who are we talking to, Joan?
Carrie from County Court.
Yeah. Carrie from County Court is possibly being able to, you know, if we have somebody housed in Hardington or if we have somebody housed in Kearney, rather than transport them back and forth, maybe to be able to do that by telecom. I think County Court's becoming a little more willing to do that. And if we can do that, you know, it's going to save an awful lot of deputies' time and transport costs. So hopefully that works out.
Okay, I'll make a motion to basically move $3,500 from...
Well, just the resolution.
What now?
The resolution.
Resolution.
That'll take care of the whole thing.
20C-11.
Seconded.
And, yeah. That's all I need to say, right?
Yeah, it's all you need to get the resolution.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, then approval of resolution 20C-012, appropriate transfer of funds for overexpenditure budget of County Sheriff General Fund.
We're taking it from the jail to the sheriff. He had 17,000 left over in jail, so between the two budgets, he did good.
Yep.
So that was an easy. Okay, yeah. I make that. Motion to approve resolution 20C-012.
Seconded.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Board to approve a formal action to qualify Dakota County to submit a claim through the Nebraska COVID-19 Local Government Response Assistance Program. The board shall designate the chair or county board designee to complete the fund request certification form in order to be eligible for the reimbursement claim.
This is the state of Nebraska guidance. From John Cannon on Friday, we got this for public assistance requests. We're still haven't seen how we're doing it, but we're trying to keep track of everything so that when they do give us the guidance, it looks like it's all going to be online. So it'll be some type of a form online that we'll have to submit. But in order to be eligible, we need the county board chair or designee.
So our motion is to designate Marty as, or Marty or a designee, to certify the reimbursement when we get it all gathered up?
Yep.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
State your motion.
Designate the chair or designee to submit the claim for the COVID local.
I think you need to either name somebody else or just leave it as the chair.
Does anybody have a desire to be the designee?
I'll make the chair.
All right.
I'll second.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Approve board chair to sign engagement letter for the audit of financial services for Dakota County by the Nebraska Auditor of Public Accounts for fiscal year ending June 30th of 2020. That's just our letter of engagement with our auditors. We're going to have the state of Nebraska do the audit. This will be our third time through with them. They've been able to clean up a lot of things in our audits, and after our contract runs out with them, then we'll shop again. But I think it's been a good service to have done.
Well, I'll make a motion for you, the board, to sign the engagement letter.
Second that.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Commissioner or committee reports? Anybody have anything going on? I know a lot of them haven't been meeting. If they have, it's been the old Zoom mail or Zoom meetings.
We had a Zoom for NCRD, and they wanted to do a, e-hazard waste.
Yeah.
Waste. They're struggling finding places to do it. I don't know whether Dakota County is interested in hosting one, e-waste.
Is that something that they would do over across the street, or would it be something independent from the Papio? Because I know Papio has been involved in doing that in the past, but it's probably independent for them since it's the RCNA.
I think it's the same folks.
Yeah?
Yep. It's that group that NCR, rural, what is it?
Yeah, I always had trouble remembering that too.
NCRD, it's the same one that have done household hazardous waste, but now they want to do electronic waste. And I don't know how the rotation works or if we have to designate, approve it or not, but.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of places that they're struggling right now getting spots.
Yeah. I think anything that brings a bunch of people together, everybody's kind of
nervous
about, right?
Yeah,
nervous
about that. But I think everybody's cleaned out their basement. They have a
lot of I know. There is a lot of, I know that your Goodwills and those are all overflowing with stuff during this time.
And I think we have to do it now, but I know that's on the work for this call.
Okay. Anybody else? Mail and emergency business. I did get the email on this stuff north of Jackson, and that was good. They were excited to have that done, and other than that, I think that's about it. Anybody else? All right, we're going to go ahead and adjourn at this time.
142. Does Governor Ricketts like Dakota County now?
I think you.
Getting over that, or?
I think he probably likes this line.
Well, but have enough hair in his backside to show up. But other than that, yes.
All right. I'm leaving.
All right, Tony.
You guys get money then from the county or from the state on that?
COVID.
On the COVID.
Yeah. Then we have an initial draw that we did through our health department when we had to hire the additional people for the tracing and the people that test. They did, and we'll have the ability to do that again down the road. So, yeah, that's the one thing they did provide. They did provide financial assistance.
Okay. It sounded like he was kind of pissy about it.
Certainly.
You guys weren't going to open up the way he wanted you to open up. And
it's opened up, and we have people working the door. You probably saw that on your way in. And it seems to be going decent. I mean, as good as it can. Nobody really has the recipe for how this is all supposed to go, but I think it's going pretty good.
Good. Good deal.
All right.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, no. I'm supposed to wear my mask 24 hours a day. You know,
we're all good boys. Do we're all good boys. I think so.
Where would they do it? Where would they do it at the marina?
Yeah, in the bar.
What the hell would they have?
Maybe not tomorrow, Larry.
Oh, I know it is. There's plenty of room, but I mean, what kind of money are they talking about?
They were, the lady said 500, I think. Their normal was 2 grand.
Good to see you again, Tony.
Yep, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to see your smiling face.
I had my golf letter removal on Tuesday.
Well, it's nice. I mean, everybody would want to.
Oh, you did?
I mean, everybody would want to.
That's a problem with that, too. I mean, yeah, we're not being at the other.
Man, bummer.
What's that?
Yes, it is.
Well, I hope you feel better.
Yeah.
According to the doctor, it's not really serious, you know, but I need to take care of it.
You be careful, Tony.
Yes.
Good to see you.
Be safe.
See you, Tony.
See ya.
I'm leaving because I don't like you.
Yeah, I don't want to be the main person. You and everybody else, nice seeing you, man. Oh, dang, we got two elbows, I forgot. Thank you.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah, have a good one, Tony.
Otherwise, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, oh, I know. We'll get over this pretty soon.
It is 1:45. We will call to order the Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting for June 29th of 2020. Start with roll.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Tony is absent.
And I will make a motion to excuse Tony.
Second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yeah.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll begin with the consent agenda items. There is one, the approval of the previous minutes for May 18th of 2020.
I'll make a motion to approve the previous minutes.
Second.
Consent agenda.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
New business, Jeff Curry requesting the board to approve clerical and omitted errors.
Oh, that's my land study one. It should be.
No, we don't have, you didn't get me one.
Oh.
Or I didn't get it. I didn't go to the website. Is it on the V drive?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I did not.
No, well, that's okay. It's pretty straightforward stuff here. These are kind of a list as people have been coming in, things that we've been able to find and take care of a lot of them. So we have 20 requests altogether. The first one is in neighborhood 2. It's ag. We had them at 238,565. They actually had some things added onto their parcel that did not get rolled. So we rolled their new items. These are a couple of them are some of the no permits type things, pole buildings and stuff. So that parcel went from 238,565 up to 286,15. That's about a $47,450 increase. The next one is also going to be at neighborhood 2, which is the kind of when you hit the bluffs and you start going back for ag ground. It was at $194,590, but with the desktop review and the pickup of items we didn't have permits for, it increased to $256,945, or a difference of
$62,355. What are we looking at? I'm not looking at a wrong piece of paper.
We might not be hooked up on the D drive or something. She's making us some copies.
Quick. Okay.
I'm just curious, is this stuff public? I mean, is any of this stuff public?
I would think so. I think we turn it over and it gets sent into the state. And yeah, we keep it out on the V drive, so.
The V drive, is that what you get on when you're
evaluation drive? Yeah, so like all of my documents that deal with protests, this kind of thing, are all located.
That way Joan can get access to them and...
I guess I always feel like I don't even know what I'm looking at until it's... Get your head wrapped around it before you walk in here and...
Yeah, because that will have to start... So you guys should be able to, because I can get access to it remotely, too, and make amendments. So there should be a way for you guys to be able to go out there. And that way you can pre-read all the everything
exactly.
is out there.
Exactly. Yep. I just feel sometimes I don't.
Or if somebody, or you have to end up talking to a taxpayer about something and they have a protest, you'll be able to look on the computer and you'll be able to see exactly what they turned in, what we've turned in, and that kind of thing.
I talked to one of them today. Actually, I talked to two of them today.
Oh, two of them? Oh, no. I know one of them's Andy, right? Had to be. Mm-hmm. Him and Courtney did not get along.
I'm sure.
I think he called the state. No, Ruth sent me an email back. She goes, well, if he said he talked to the state, he didn't talk to us. I don't know who he's talking to.
Oh, thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, Joan. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
So, as you look at it, the first two we just kind of touched on, both neighborhood twos, eggs. That difference is whether it's going up or going down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys, depending on what you decide to do, there's a BOE side, whether it was omitted or clerical, we check. I'll throw a brief note on there to try to describe what happened. And then you know what the actual tax impact is for Dakota County and the whole county.
The clerical, so what does that mean? The clerical.
Clericals are mostly like calculations or like if somebody was, say the lot was supposed to be 50 by 150 and somebody accidentally hit 250 by 150. Mm-hmm. And then would they come into protest because their land went up by $40,000? That's a clerical.
Okay. So these are all people that have contacted you, and there was some type of a clerical?
Yep, a calculation issue or something. Now, the first two are people who we found that didn't have building permits, but we found those items for the first two egg. But most all of these... I've had meetings with them, like where we lose all of our value is the city of South Sioux had a meeting with Lance and Nancy and I forget who else was on there. Did I give you? Yeah.
Yeah, I
printed
the right one.
Oh, okay. And then omitted is we just either we missed it and forgot about it. Or it was something that somebody tore down that, and then they're going to come in and tell us, and we can verify when they are it burnt down or something like that.
Okay.
Then we got a lot of, let's see here, we've got some different neighborhoods in here. So when you see 33, that's our res is rural res. So these are people who are platted that are outside of the city limits. So Eagle Drive out here, actually we ended up dropping some value on that. They came in and talked, we went out and looked and the foundation was falling in on them. So we made an adjustment there for them. The two on Choke Cherry were both, it was the one house that burnt and it kind of burned the house right next to it too. We had a lower value on those guys and until they got fixed and they're both done, so those are bumped back up.
Okay.
And then 27 is another rural res. This is on platted. This one here actually had the addition of it's a small house, really. It's like a tiny house, or it's bigger than a tiny house, but they had an addition put on. So no permitting or anything like that was turned in, but we found it, so we added it. We've got another one, Market Area 2 for ag. And that was a small reduction. They had an original farmhouse on there that's now disconnected and gutted. They're either going to push it in or they might think about remodeling it. If the economy turns around, they can afford to hire another hand, that they'll put him in there. So right now it's just a structure that's sitting there that is disconnected. So we adjusted it further down because it's not livable anymore. Hank's Way was, oh, that's a rotunda, neighborhood 61. The market, so that was a square foot economic adjustment. He was at 406. He spent 440 or 450, I think, when he bought it. But we made an adjustment to the file based on the sales, and so that one went up to 441. Then we got something over here on Pigeon in neighborhood 25. That's rural res. That was a home that was vacant, damaged, so we ended up pretty much scrapping that out. So that was a reduction. Then we have Rye Miller Road. That's in Homer, neighborhood 18. And Frank or not, square foot change. Land over acre. Oh, we had to change the land methodology. If they get over an acre inside city limits, we go to an acre method. Otherwise, everybody's based on the square foot. G Street. This is cleaned up 4911G. Oh, this is the out there, I don't know why they call it, because the part we paved is actually called C Avenue now. But it's where you turn to go up to K&B Trucking and all those guys. Well, they sold that old tire place and the rental houses.
Mm-hmm.
And we had issues with the file, so we went in and readjusted the file. We used their sale and information from their sale. So we brought them back up to closer to what they paid for it, $640,000. On that, and that was, they actually had called us, I think, originally on that one. The next one, 406 Dakota Street, 23, that's Emerson or Hubbard. That one there, it was a sale, so they brought in their paperwork, and we didn't have the right notes on our sales review packet, so we made their adjustments there. 310 South 2nd Street is Homer, and that one was a double wide that they put the quality to 30, and double wide trailers are 20s, single wides are 10s. So that's kind of the standard. If you ever see one, then you know it always should be a 10, and if it's not a 10, then we'll have to fix it. Or this one, in this case, it's always going to be a 20. Let's see, neighborhood 27 again. Pole building, so this was a permit issue.
Are we at again?
I don't think we've got that one.
We stopped at line 14.
310 South 2nd Street was the mobile home. That's a 20. And then 15.
We don't have line 15.
We don't have 15 or 16.
It said read only, so maybe you were still in it after you added.
Oh, yeah, it could have been. Yeah. So, I can give you guys the rest of them next meeting. Okay. That's fine. So let's stop. Which one was that?
14.
14,
that's south. Oh, yeah, that's wrong code. Yep, we had to fix coding, so that was clerical. Yeah, the rest of it's disappointing anyway. You don't want to hear that today. We'll talk about that in the next meeting.
Hey, Jeff, Hank's Way. I don't want to interrupt, but Hank's Way, what was the deal on that thing? His taxes went up, that guy's taxes went up. Number 9.
Yeah, it's still a few thousand less than he paid for it.
Well, what did he pay for it?
I think it was closer to 450.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, we got him about 441.
Oh, whew. Was he happy?
Must be nice.
Yeah, he was, yeah, when he came in, yeah. Oh. I sat down, it's Janicek, I sat down with him. He sold his place down here on the river. And we had a little meet, and we sat down and discussed it, and where it was, and what he paid for it, and where it needed to be at, and to be correct. So we made all the adjustments necessary, and he's good with that number. Actually, I don't think he's pro. He's been waiting for me to get this presented to you guys. Oh. Yeah, so... Otherwise, I think he probably would have protested for being too low, I think was the deal, which we get one or two a year of that.
Really? Well, you never hear me say that.
Yeah, no, me either, but we went through it, and we're in good shape with
him. I hope I can sell my stuff for what you got to appraise that or value that.
Oh, absolutely. Trust me.
I think that a lot of this letter here is true.
Did you read that?
Uh-uh.
You need to.
Which one? Oh, was that my letter? No, I did. I think I have seen that.
You did.
Did I? Is that the one I
always got? You need to get a job. You're never in the office.
Yeah, I'm never there. I've never been to his house. Doesn't matter what year the pictures are in his file, or that everybody in my office has talked to him and told him no and sent him packing. He's an angry little guy. I understand. I am one, too.
Okay, so you're still up.
So we'll just do those 14. We'll do the rest next time, if that's okay with you guys. Okay.
That's perfect. Item B.
We need a motion.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, Joan. I will make a motion to approve the clerical and admitted errors.
For assessor's recommendation?
Yes.
I'd second that.
Martin.
Yep.
Kevin.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Janet. Yes.
Okay. Now we will move on to Jeff Curry requesting board approval of the tax list corrections.
Okay. This one. And Christy gave me this. Oh, this was, we were moved out. This is a mobile home, so when they move them, they got to pay their taxes up in advance before it can leave. That's what this is. So we did acceleration of taxes is what this is called, so they could move their trailer. So it's basically just a break even. I mean, nobody's out. We didn't make or lose on it. It's what was owed was paid. Is the
when you say move it to where?
Generally, when we force them to do, or when we do our accelerated taxes, it's outside the county.
So how do you stop them hooking up the thing and taking off?
We got to rely on people telling us generally. Oh. Yeah. Some of the companies that do it around here, we've worked with, and they'll call us.
Oh.
Like, they'll actually, we have a canned letter. They'll come in and ask us for a letter that says the taxes have been accelerated, and unless they have that letter, they won't hook up to it. Oh. Now, there are other people who may move it for them.
The farm tractor.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take much to move them. Not these little single lights, yeah. But yeah, anybody can pretty much move one if they have the axles on and stuff like that. But the companies that do it are all really good about it, because it's a statute that they have to pay their taxes up before they can leave.
Oh,
yeah. And that's the only one, right?
Yeah. I left it plural just in case.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the only. The one that Christy gave me that one.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the correction for parcel 220128502.
Second that.
Kevin.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Martin.
Yep.
Okay. Item C. Discussion regarding over or under valuation on Village of Homer land and agricultural grassland.
Yes, so we've gotten a whole bunch of people from Homer upset about their land increase. What we do is we do every 6 years by statute, we have to do a land, what they call a land study, and reevaluate all the sales and what lots are actually selling for. Unfortunately, most of our small towns, you can go back to 1998 and it hasn't been done. So we're just now, since we're on that cycle, catching up to the small towns. So we did, and I initially rolled out, like, I think it was for Homer was $1 a square foot. So it wasn't hitting them with the full price, but it wasn't all, you know, so I was trying to help a little bit with the sticker shock, because next year they're going to go up to $1.40 is what those lots are selling for. So I thought I'd put it on the agenda and hoped everybody could read it, because I can submit this to the board as undervalued property, and we could raise all of the lots in Homer again this year. So I wanted to get it on the agenda. I'm not asking us to do that unless you guys want to, but we can. We have all the evidence, the land studies in. It's about $1.40 is what they should be paying.
These are for lots that aren't built on, or the lot value on a
These here, they can be both, improved or unimproved. I think in 16, these are all improved. I pulled 16 sales in Homer. And as you can see, we're sitting right at the lot value is averaging 15% of the sale price. So you can go right down the list of those sales and get your figure it out pretty quick what we're looking at. And our sales ratio is we're actually right at anywhere between 95 and 97% if I was at $1.40. We're not there now because I'm only at $1. And trying to explain, not necessarily this to people, but trying to explain what had happened and talking to them about their lot values is proven ineffective to discuss things with them logically. So it leaves us a choice. I mean, I can either, and it's fine, I mean, they don't like me anyway, but I've got no problem setting them to where it's supposed to be. And that way, if they want to bitch and protest, then feel free. I'll just raise you all back up to where you should be. And I'm doing it for Dakota. The only three that we did are Dakota City, Emerson Hubbard, because Jackson's done. I did Jackson, I think, a year ago or 2 years ago. And they're higher than this here for Homer. And technically, them and Homer should be pretty close together with the distance to the city. So
which three are you doing? Emerson and Hubbard?
Emerson and Hubbard together show they are at 90 cents. They should be 10 cents higher. They should be at $1. And Homer should be about $1.43 or $1.44. I can prove either one. And Dakota City should be closer to $2 than $1.20. Which puts them right in there at South Sioux's oldest neighborhood of 100 Covington, which is at $2.
And then are you doing Dakota City?
I did it already, and okay, I only put them at a. See, everybody got a little bit of a break because nobody had done the land study for so long. I didn't, you know, they'd come in here with guns blazing if I would have went to the full $1.40 in one cycle.
Yeah, I think the step is a good idea.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. But we've got a bulk of our when we go through the protests, it ought to go quick because most of them are upset about their land values, which is good in a way. There's not a lot to worry about there.
Can you just walk me through number one?
Yep.
Just
every column, just kind of explain.
Yeah,
what
just
okay.
Just,
so
just to walk through.
Yeah.
That,
so what you're looking at, so. This is what I call the raw data. This isn't really the calculations or anything yet.
Sure.
So this is describing the parcel. So this is giving you the parcel number, the date that that sale took place, the neighborhood that it's in, making sure we're comparing, you know, we're in the same place. What I'm saying their 2020 improvement value is, land value is, and total value is. And then it goes over to date. This raw data is what's going to be used to calculate square foot. So basically, I'm telling it's 74 by 150 is his lot, which equals 11,100 square feet. And the equalization basically is telling you, it divides it out and tells you if your square footage is 11,100. The land value is 11,100. It's a buck. So what that gray line then shows is every one of these is equalized to a dollar. Every sale right now is equalized to a dollar, which is what I did for them this year. Then what I add to it, then now let's go to what they actually paid for it. And you look at it three different ways, and I'll get into that. But you see here, it was the total value is $119,535. This one here only sold for $115,000. So then our assessment ratio was 104%, which means I'm overvalued. And the land was only at 6% of that sale then, right? So you got to factor that in all the way down, saying, you know, based on that, the lot should have been 59 cents instead of a dollar, right? For that one individual improved sale. And then as you go down, it's the same thing every time. It'll give you, you use the square footage over here, and then you use the sale price against the total value, and that's where your 95, 99, and 97 come in. So you can take a look at them all the way down and see the percentage that the land was of the sale, what that equals in the land per square foot. So it goes anywhere from negative 8 cents to $7.32.
And a rule of thumb is property is about 15%?
I always run 10 to 15. Smaller towns are going to be higher, or bigger towns probably closer to 10. Mm-hmm. So, and it just worked out when you do medians, which we do everything by, so you array these, and you'll see that if I take all 16 sales, 16% is the median. If I just do the sales within 10 points, which is giving them a little bit of a break, saying, we have to, by statute, be between 92 and 100% of what the market is. So I give them 10% high or 10% low off of that, and that grouped out at 99%, almost perfect. And then you go down and you look at the 97, and that is what's in blue, and that is only counting sales between 100 and 92. Which traditionally is what you would do. You want to use good sales, but if you're trying to cut back a little bit and do more of a stepped approach like I wanted to do, you'll end up probably a little bit like that's a difference between 123 and 143 the square foot, just by doing those two things. So what you do then is once you get all that figured out, whether you're using all 13, all 10 are just the four good sales. You work your way through and you calculate them all out between 10 to 15% because your rule of thumbs is going to fall there. And in this case, our median percentage is 13% looking at these sales. So then you go down on the tables below where it says all sales plus or minus are less than or greater than 10% are good sales only. That's when you get into and say, okay, if it was 15%, it'd be $2.14. But since we're running a median of 13%, you go down to the 13% row, and that is $1.86, $1.23, or $1.55 right there. So then you do another median. That's how you end up getting your. But when the state comes in, I got to be able to prove what I did. I got to show them every sale. I got to show them, you know, my median sales, and then I got to show them exact good sales to justify where I came up with. So this is basically how we do it. What you'll find then in the brown, clear on the left, I'm not sure which, you guys might not have my updated template. I'm reading some stuff you guys aren't seeing. But then the fourth way you do it, is based on the rule of thumbs. You know, is it 15, 10, 13, you know, go a little bit higher. So you'll go in there and you'll just cherry pick all the way through anything that's between 9 and 16% and pull it down and do a median on that. And that and also then supports the 13% that we're basing it on. Land is 13% of the sales in this neighborhood. And every neighborhood gets one of these every 6 years.
All right.
It's hard to explain. I mean, it's easier to sit down in front of the computer, plug the numbers in with someone, but that's essentially what it is. You got to prove what your sales are. You got to prove what percentage of that sale is actually the land. And then you got to figure out what that percentage is and then come up with what that square foot needs to be.
So I know Homer a little bit. So, mm-hmm. So there's 10 yes. sales that fell into that range. I mean, do you differentiate between a house that's on the flat, potentially in the floodplain, and one that's up on the hill? I mean, if I was in Homer, that's what I'd be saying.
Yeah, so what you look at for land studies, mm-hmm. Land doesn't, really about the only thing that impacts land is floods, and that's about it. Because it's dirt, we only have so much dirt, so it's really hard to tweak a land value, because generally what that would adjust to would be the actual improvement on the land. We'd put a, you know, like you said, in a floodplain, we'd do an economic because of how low it sits, so the house won't sell as much, but the land has, yeah. So generally we will do more improvements on the about the only time we adjust a land is if it's a cost to cure situation, when a flood dumps 2 foot of sand over your dirt, you got to remove it, and they don't let you put it back in the river. You got to haul it away. So you got all those expenses.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, then we would do a cost to cure on it.
So an acre of land, like I'll just say it was an acre, right? But mm-hmm. How much does that thing? Is that $1.50, $1.40?
Oh, that's two. It's over two. Like two and a quarter, I want to say, a square foot.
How come it's cheaper down Omaha? I mean,
in Homer? Just the sales?
See one for the car.
Because if you look at, when you look at the sales, like the median sale price is $137,000. Our median sale price is probably about $343,000 plus.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a bare piece of ground.
A bare piece of ground to develop? Oh, yeah, depending on where that is. Bare ground for development for commercial in this county starts at the highest about $100,000 an acre and drops to about $40,000. Residential's, I think the highest sale we've had is mid-50s, and it drops to $20,000 right in there for residential planning or developments.
See, that brings to mind that lot, those lots I had up in Jackson, you know, they started out selling at $25,000, two or three lots did.
Yep.
So then they was all appraised at $25,000, assessed at that. So, well, I got dinged on the two lots or three that I had, so I built a house on it. Well, then I lost money on that thing. I lost for $35,000 on the house because the realtor told me what you would think it would bring in Sioux City or South Sioux, it ain't going to what it's going to bring out there. So I took a beating on the sale.
On it. For for the area. Yeah. That's why we adjust it by the neighborhood, because what somebody might give for a house, like a perfect example is, we've got one we're working on right now. I forget the guy's name in Homer. It's a big fancy brick house. I think he coached girls.
Right downtown?
No, not Lewis, but it's right on the outside. Oh, I can see his face and everything.
Ryan for me.
Thank you. Yeah. And you couldn't build it for $600,000. Just couldn't do it. You couldn't buy the materials if you break it down on a cost. But we don't have a single cell in the county that says he's ever going to get $600,000 for in Homer. So we got him knocked based on economic for his area. I think he's only a little over five now or something like that. But what is it really worth? It's probably high sixes. Just like the guy up on the ridge, the Harris gentleman that passed away. Yeah. The woodwork in that home alone, it was all detailed. This isn't stuff they just bought off the shelf. This is all I mean, that's a $600,000 home too. It only sold for $450,000.
Yeah.
So they also get that adjustment. So I think we have him roughly, it will be about like in Rotunda for Mr. Janicek. He's in the 440s. But with that lot, the pole building, and the square footage of his house, he should be closer to the fives. But he's not, because it won't bring it. Whereas if I pick that house up and I set that over in Whispering Creek, yeah, you can't touch it unless you're going to drop six.
Yeah.
That, so, the final on that's going to be in the 440 range, you think?
On which one? On Janisex?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's houses out there that are valued higher than that, right?
Yeah, there's probably a couple. There's probably Krugers will be higher. And there's like two or three more down with that have water access.
He's got water. He's got water access.
Who's that?
Janisex.
Not now. Not where he moved over on Hank's Way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Kruger doesn't either, so his is about the most comparable. But the rest of them have more square foot.
I was thinking Stackowitz.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, Stackowitz is higher with water, and he has two lots. Yeah, so it's hard to adjust his down. Sometimes it just...
But his is still at the building rate, I think.
He's just finished, because we'll try to keep cost. Mm-hmm. Cost is effective for about 2 years. Yeah. After that, it changes too much, and we can't defend it.
But see, that's where you go with evaluation there, because he'd never get what it appears to me that it'd be worth.
Yeah, like Stackowitz? No, yeah, he won't. In a couple of, no, if he put a for sale sign in it,
yeah,
he's going to be like Janisek. He's going to be in that range.
25 years, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's I think the actual appraisal term for it, for a couple of these, what they call it, super adequacy, which means you just overbuilt. Plain and simple, and we have to then do math to adjust for it.
But over time, things will catch up to it too, probably.
Yeah, it does. Market generally
20
slowly,
years from now.
Yeah. I know when I started, 270 was the number. Now we're closer to 315, kind of a median when you get into the higher end homes. It's gone up that much.
I remember the first time I heard a house sold for $100,000 in Dakota County in Southridge when I was in high school. When I was in high school, I thought, oh my God, there's a $100,000 home in Dakota County.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I can remember like it was yesterday.
Seeing it, yep. It is. But so that's what I was doing. And if you guys are okay with me, I just wanted to let you know that we're doing a step on it, you know. So if they keep calling the state and the state comes in, that's what I'm showing them.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're doing, because I can catch up to them next year.
I've already had two calls.
Oh, I bet.
Be
yeah,
next year.
Oh, yes. Ooh. We're popular. Very popular.
The step, I think,
looking at
good
it and listening to the explanation, I think it's it's justified. I'd rather see the step than hit all at once.
Me too, because that just makes them, they're angry now, and I can't even imagine how they'd feel if I did that. That's what I did in 16, and I should have did the step, and I was too new then.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know better. That was a bad year.
You want a copy of this?
Oh, no, I'm going to let you guys read that. I
already did.
Oh, and then the other one is the ag land. I had a meeting with the state. This is at LB 327 or 372. Senator Erdman, my favorite senator, they got legislation passed last year to change NRCS codes, which really wasn't supposed to mess with the value. It's just what we were calling certain things needed to be called something else. So we were very careful when we did it, and we didn't try to change any of our values. And we ended up good. We're at 69%, which is about where the bottom is. I mean, I can't go any lower than that. But the state called and said, because there's so many, it's not here. I don't think I have a single protest that even deals with this right now. But the state went through and did what-if analysis on the sales that I did have and what I used, and they take my data and look at it. I sent them everything. And I don't even know if it's a recommendation, because I don't think they want to get into the business of telling us what to do value-wise on this particular issue anyway. So, but what they said is I had room. I think like my highest grass rate right now per acre is 2,050 maybe or 80, something like that. And based on the analysis they did, they said I could drop it to 1,950 or something like that, or 1,995 or... It's not that, it's a difference, it's not a huge difference, but they said if I did that and then maintained my stager for the class 2, 3, and 4, that I wouldn't lose my assessment ratio and we'd be fine, and we could reduce as overvalued all the grassland in the county for those four NRCS codes. So they kind of left it up to us, so I told them I was going to talk to you to see if we can afford. We're fine now. It isn't like we could be forced to do anything because we're fine within the ranges and everything. It's just we do have room. And if the sales still like they stay like they are, I'm probably going to end up dropping next year anyway. You know, so I don't know. It's just one of those deals. So far, I know Dixon County's getting hit with it a little bit. I know Cedar is.
That would be for calendar year 2021 taxes?
Yeah. I mean, all corrected for 2020. Yeah, but the 2020 year for 2021, they said they want us, we could lower it for this year payable in 2021. And I could give you, it's going to look a lot like this, only it's just going to have those four NRCS codes, and I'll show you the values and show you where we are now with my current valuations and what we would go to or lose if we lowered it to what they want to. And I can put that together for you and have you look at that to help make a decision from. I just didn't have time. The meeting was late last week, so we've been pretty busy since.
What do you
then.
Think? Do we want to wait till next meeting and take a look at that?
That way we know what the impact.
I'd like to break down.
Yeah, I'd like to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll put it together so you guys can actually see what the impact is.
Does the
grant? But it's an option, and we have. I think you guys. I believe the statute is you would have to approve the over under has to be signed and approved by the board by July 24th. It'd be like before the 25th, or I don't know what day the 24th falls on.
Friday.
Is it the Friday? On that Friday. So I'll get it done before. I don't know. When is our next meeting? I'll have it done before then. It won't take too long.
So they set the value of the pasture land?
Well, no. I did already, but they said I'm okay but a bit strong based on this LB 372, which I still don't understand 100%. I fought them tooth and nail on that for half a year last year, but it didn't work. And they told me that I could do that change with their numbers based on their what-if analysis, and they won't change my assessment ratio or anything. So we're still good with the state. We're still good with the Turk, which are the two people we want to keep happy in the long run. My only worry about it is if we're fine now, what is the damage? I mean, how much is that going to actually hurt us? And I'll put that together for you and give you a tax revenue impact on it.
Okay. Yeah.
You can see it. And then if it's not, you know, if you guys want me to, I can. I don't think the state's going to push it either way. I know that they've been fighting with a lot of counties, and they're actually, the state's been going to, I told them I'd talk to you myself, but because they've been going to other county boards talking about it.
So what's that doing to row crop then?
No, so that, all of that, they didn't touch. All of that's fine. It was just for the grass.
Is valuation on row crop up or down next year?
Now, the last couple of sales I've had, for row crops are up a little bit. It's starting to come back up a little bit, actually, which surprised me, but it's not enough. It's only three sales that I have.
Very little being sold, though, isn't there?
Yeah, that's just, I only have three sales, and I think two of them were Anderson, so, you know, so it's, we don't really know what the market is unless we get up to like 10 or 12.
Yeah.
I get some other buyers in there and get a better feeling for it. But right now, I think with our percentages, and if we do anything with this grass, as long as there's no impact, about the same next year, I'm guessing, barring sales. But like I said, nothing's selling right now. There's just not a lot of ground being sold.
How will a major drought affect the value of the row crop?
It have to be before it gets adjusted. The governor would have to almost issue a disaster thing. And then they could submit 425s on it. Other than that, it would still go based on whatever sales you had recorded. They wouldn't allow us to do much change at all, really. So if we end up in one, it'd be nice to have a dry, not that kind of dry, But it'd be nice to have water quit coming up everywhere for a change.
It's actually fallen back a little bit in the lake bed there. My lake's down about 8 inches.
Oh, it is? Oh, good.
And things are starting to go that way.
Our creek's down. The dams are down.
Yeah, things are starting to fall a little bit.
That's good.
It's been a long haul.
It has. Every year, it seems like. But I'll bring that to the next meeting on the ag thing.
Okay.
For that.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you.
Do we need any other discussion on item C? I think I'm pretty squared away on that.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. We'll move on to our mail and our emergency business.
Yes.
We have a letter that was sent to us from Gary Peters discussing his land valuation on parcel 22001208. It was overwhelmingly negative dealing with his tax increase. In it, he states he's not protesting, though. So, I guess I'm not sure really what else besides just noting that he was unhappy with his increase and unhappy with the county assessor.
Yes, I agree with it. The assessor's on record.
But, I mean, is it just one of those things where we just...
We've worked with him for a couple of years in a row now, and our relationship is just keeps disintegrating because we've shared comps with him and showed him where he's at, how he's, you know, valued. He makes it sound like we've never been there or he's never talked to anybody. He's been in the courthouse multiple times, in the office. We've been to his place. It's just right over here, one of those sweat levels.
You know, one of the things I was thinking, because I wonder if we need to do some sort of a public relations campaign. I don't think people really understand this process.
They don't. And it's hard. Yeah.
I know you put something I noticed in the paper that about is your house valued at what you could sell it for. And there's like, it was a little list. I can't remember what it said. But yeah. I just feel like we've got a lot of citizens, kind of like what you said, that are a little bit stressed and angry and...
I know.
It's market is something that they need to understand, you know, and it's, we spent on that bigger box thing for this back half to give them, you know, stuff from the actual info guide in there and then some questions, helpful questions to ask yourself. And every year we hand all that stuff out, but it's just a lot of reading. There's got to be an easier way to do it.
And I don't understand what's driving this market. Every time I see houses, you know, I think, you know, how can it be valued at that? And then I look at the things that are selling, and it just always amazes me. I can't fathom
that's what these
houses are selling for.
Yeah,
this area is so skewed.
It is. It is.
Dakota City is.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's, like I said, the market is. And we're getting enough sales. We can go back 2 years to do the market study, which is what people are paying for like properties. But in a lot of cases, like with South Sioux, we don't have to. I can do it with 1 year. That's how many sales we're getting to. The whole thing is being pushed up because we have less than a whole page of property. Our supply and demand is upside down. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of people looking for houses and very few that are listed. And so we get a lot of our 521s coming in and then when we go to the MLS, they listed it for 265, they ended up selling it for 285.
Mm-hmm.
It gets in a bidding war.
It's insane.
And that's not uncommon to see anymore.
Be a good time to have a house for sale, Larry.
Well, we talked about that house over there on Somerville, that old clunker.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna run any water. It's got lights in it though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, no way you'd have to put in a well to have water, or hook up to real water, and then you'd have to put in a sewer system because that's inadequate. Well, that little old thing you got at 80-some thousand, you got the two outbuildings and that acre. You know, and really, if the thing was livable, it'd probably be $150,000 somebody paid for it. I wouldn't, but somebody else.
I wouldn't either, but I mean, no, you'd be, but they will.
On the other hand, it ain't worth nothing to me. It's just not livable, period.
Yeah.
It's filthy, it shouldn't be.
I don't know where we could talk maybe more publicly or something to help them understand and maybe just divide it out. Where we talk about market one day and give them a little presentation to say, here you go. If you live in this area, here's your sales rate, here it's this. You know, the last 20 sales in every neighborhood, just show them what the median sale price is. A lot of them, I got neighborhoods that we haven't had a sale under $200,000, and there's older homes in these neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
But they just, the median sale price is over too.
Yeah, I think that's what happens. They haven't been a thing to their house, and they're elderly, and they don't have their fixed income, and they're just very stressed. And,
they're upset. I don't blame them.
Stress.
Yeah.
So what does it
take? I don't know. I mean, I'd be willing to do anything. I don't know. We've had a little bit of success. I forget which group I went to. Optimist Club, or one of the clubs invited us one time. And I gave them a presentation, and I haven't had any of them guys back. I mean, I spent quite a while with them, though, with all the questions they had ready for me. But and then I spoke, I forget who the chamber was it Jim Steele before? I don't know.
Yeah, legislative luncheon.
Yeah, I went and spoke at a one year. I think I've done that once or twice now. And that, but I don't get to do it enough. People really don't want to invite me. Mm-hmm. I'm such a wonderful person, too. I don't get it. I don't know, Marty.
I don't know if you can make people happy about paying taxes.
No, you can't.
Well, I've never
but educate
that.
Them a little bit.
Yeah,
so we don't. Because you're going to see protests this year, and this is, I'm calling this is truly a silly year. Because there are several we're going to run across. They paid more for their house than it's assessed at, and they still, you know, we try not to make them more angry, but if you tell them that, that's like a match to gas. So I got to come up with a better way to say.
What's our number at right now as far as?
I guess. Went and pulled that. We're up to 96.
Okay.
53 were heard already in June. So yeah. Do you guys want to do some review with the referee on the 13th of July?
Yeah, because we're doing 15 more, I think, referee hearings at least Wednesday, I think. I'm about halfway through my recommendations.
Okay.
So we will
have heard. We've got 96 total. I'm not sure where she was at. Nobody was in my office when I went in there. But anyway, there was somebody waiting to be out. 96 is what she has on the paper, and I'm not sure where she's at. So we're going to get real close. We got tomorrow yet.
Yeah.
I think the 13th would be nice if we could hear some of them then, mm-hmm. because that next week is going to be a difficult week for me.
Yeah. We have to hear them, you know, by
the 29th?
Yeah, the 24th. 27th, maybe, are we allowed to? I haven't looked at the calendar. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But 20th to the 24th, or we can do something else. Actually, the referees all agreed to do that last week, the 20th to the 24th, but we might be able to get them done in a couple of days because there's, you know, around 100.
Yeah.
And they're not like overly complicated ones either. I mean, we haven't had any huge, for the most part, they're pretty self-explanatory. There's comps that are going to be available for the board.
What do you think about coming in a couple hours early on the 13th?
Yeah, we want to, I got no issue. We want to start like at 9. 9 to noon,
mm-hmm.
if that works. Okay. I don't think we'll see Tony, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so sounds good to me.
The 13th DOE would be 9 to noon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What day of the week is that?
Monday. And we have a regular meeting that day.
Oh.
That's the next one? Yeah. What is today? Yeah,
that'd
be the next meeting,
right? I'd be here. I got to go to a med center, but not then.
Okay.
And then we had gotten a card from NIRMA telling us that June is National Safety Month, so for the rest of it, we need to be extra safe. They enjoy working with us and telling everybody to be safe.
Do they address the coronavirus?
Yeah, they said, you know, with the corona, it'd be you know, it's been a difficult year, and normal is a challenge. So they wanted to let us know that they're thinking about us and hoping we all stay safe.
Are our county employees required to wear a face mask?
No.
It's recommended that we do when we're out in the public or out in the hallway. If you're behind the plexiglass, you don't need one.
I think we're into phase two now, aren't we?
Yeah.
We did another phase since the first phase, right? So we've already...
So we've been able to up it to 25 people in the courthouse.
Yeah. Cool.
Any dates that you want to pick now for the week of July 20 through, and I can let all referees know? And I think we have one referee that he could only be here on the 24th, and that was Daryl Stannard, but I'm not sure he's heard a single protest.
I don't know if we've sent him anything. I haven't had enough egg. I think if I did, Doug probably would have gotten it. And we're not getting a lot of commercial protests either.
Fairly flexible.
How about trailers? You guys went through most of the trailers last year, didn't you?
Yeah, and it's been really kind of quiet on mobile homes, too, because we had all of them last year.
I did have a call today from a guy in a mobile home.
Oh, did you? Oh, no. What was it? Was it the car speech? It's like a car. It's never supposed to appreciate.
It went up $94,000.
Oh, it did?
Wow. That's what he said.
A trailer? It's hard to find a trailer worth $94.
Your buddy.
No, he ain't got no trailer.
Oh,
yeah, you're right. Yeah.
He's the one that built the house behind his trailer.
Yeah.
The addition to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Uh-huh. I should have picked up on that. Yes, there is one that went up 94. The trailer really didn't, but the new house did.
Yeah.
Junior's place.
I know, and I listened to that for a while today.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Just.
I'm going to forward it to you.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like, if you...
I only time call Marty.
Thank you.
I see one with Stannard.
Just one, okay.
One. We could do that by phone, maybe two.
Yeah, Daryl could call.
One. Or he... If it's just one.
Yeah, I don't see why we can't. I didn't even know Daryl was... I haven't talked to him.
Zoom
it.
Yep.
Well,
if it's 100, that's those numbers are great.
Yeah.
That could be a two.
We're doing 150 to 200 a day a few years back.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, we almost hit 1,000. That was my 2016 where I didn't step things. We just went up.
Yeah, I think we could two mornings or a morning and an afternoon, and we can get through them, barring any.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't think we have any real sticklers. That I've seen, but it's early, knock on wood. But
do people come in to those? Do people come in?
Sometimes.
Customers?
They will.
And, okay.
I think Andy wants to come in.
Well, who wants to stand in line out there to come in and protest?
I wouldn't think too many, other than
that's why we don't have it.
Yeah, he's the one.
They don't have to stand in line.
Oh, they don't?
They get waived.
We've got a line for DMV, we've got a line for the treasurer, and we've got a line for my office and Jeff's, and there's never much of a wait for that. There's
yeah, for us, no, we don't.
Really?
I can't imagine.
Okay. She does have some more. You know, the commercial all wait till the last day. So Daryl might have some more. But
oh, okay. That's what I was wondering. So it's been too quiet on commercial.
So do we just want to set for the 24th? Or does that not work? Friday doesn't work for somebody. I work normally, so I mean, I'll be somewhere in the county.
So we're the 13th in the morning, we're coming from
yeah.
to noon, and then we need a day that next week.
Yep.
Is morning better or afternoon? It doesn't matter to me.
No, it doesn't matter to me. I'd rather get it done in the morning if I can.
Mm-hmm.
But how about you, Joan Puddle? Try another 9 to noon? If it works with him, I guess.
Who? The appraiser.
Yeah, 9 to noon works for him.
Yep. What about the or the 22nd and 23rd?
He is the only one that said that that was the only date that would work for him for that week. And, you know, he only has one parcel. I wouldn't do it.
Which day did he say? The only date that would work for him?
It's the 24th.
Oh, the 24th. Oh, okay.
For federal standard, but he'd only have one or two.
Yeah, the 24th would work fine for me. Okay. In the morning, like all morning?
Yeah, try and...
Is that week too
nine
long?
To noon.
Are we good? So we had the 13th.
I don't want to push everything to that last day. I was pretty picked another...
Like a Wednesday,
just in case.
Like a Wednesday morning, too?
Yeah, like
or Tuesday, or Wednesday and Friday that week?
And hopefully you didn't have
all
Friday.
That week.
Depending.
Wednesdays don't work well for me at all.
What about 17th? If we do it Monday on the 13th and then the 17th on Friday?
I wonder if they're going to have any time to get in and see other additional people.
I might be gone on the 17th.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't be here on Fridays, but that's... I only work 4 10-hour weeks. I'm on the road department.
I can do the 22nd, the 23rd, or the 24th, any one of those three.
Does your wife say you're getting on here?
No. See, I'm at me the other day. I didn't call her back for until 2 o'clock.
You want to try the 23rd? Then that's a Thursday. That'll work for you, Larry.
Thursday's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
It ain't even Friday. That's my day off. I get to go fishing for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
We got to do 8 to 6, though, for your 10-hour day.
8 to 6 in the morning? That's pretty
early. He says on the road department.
13th and the 23rd, then, is the one we want to do. At noon, at 9 to noon, again?
It's a meeting, people, Larry.
You might have to go until you got them done.
Yeah, just go until you have them done.
So just put it on the calendar for the 23rd,
yeah, do
all day, well, or whatever.
9 to noon and a 1 to 4, and then just
government.
If you need it.
Yeah, they're different.
Way different.
We have a couple people, Herman Fries and somebody else, that did not want to meet with a referee and that wanted to meet with the board of EOE only. So you're going to have some time involved.
Because now Herman's values never changed. He's mad because he tried to turn in 3 insurance claims. I think his insurance company dropped him. So now he's mad at me. Are the assessed value.
Because his insurance rates went up, his land values would go down.
Yeah. Well, you put in 3 claims. So I don't even know how long that's...
Did he have some land? Did he lose some land to the river, too? I don't know.
I don't remember if he said that or not. I couldn't get past the insurance.
So that's what he... maybe that's why he turned into the insurance, was that he lost land to the river.
Did he? Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so June 13th at 9 a.m. is all advertised, and then June 23, which is a Thursday.
Yes.
And then...
Is that enough days, or you need another day in there, John?
June 23 or July?
July. I'm sorry.
July.
June 23 is passed.
Just from previous years, I think that is... If we stay at that number, I think we can get those cleared up in those 2 days.
The 13th and the 23rd.
Good idea not to wait for the last minute, though. I don't really have those horses.
In an emergency situation, then we have the 24th available.
Yeah.
Or the afternoon of the 23rd.
Possibly.
And there's still a bunch I haven't looked at. There might be another clerical omitted list, too. I might find something stupid and have to fix it and take care of them before they even...
And we can meet again on the 27th.
I am not sure.
Do you know, Jeff, did you look on your calendar if they're going to give us the 27th?
I don't know. I better look. I didn't look. Okay. I made an assumption, which I shouldn't do, because generally on Friday it gives you the Monday.
Yes, they
if
do.
If it is on Friday, I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
They should give us a Corona month or two, at least.
Yeah, at least.
Okay. We'll start with those 2 dates.
Okay. With that, we'll move on to public comment. We have no public comment, so we will adjourn, and it is 2:48.
All right.
There we go. Yeah.
We could decide anything on there.
Hey, Larry, we're...